Good to see you in the house of the Lord. Thank you for coming. Thanks to Colin for his word of thanks for coming. It's my joy to be back in this good place. And I'm sure you've heard the phrase many, many times, these are amazing days in which we're living. And that's true. But one of the things I've discovered that it did for me was had me looking around my study, and my wife said to me one day, we were doing the church service on Zoom up in our study, and she said to me, have you read all of those books? And I put my head down. She says, that tells me you haven't. And this might be a good time to refresh and to take in some of the things that maybe you haven't read before. And I began to do just that, and I was really struck and taken by some of the things I was reading. A book on the Acts of the Apostles. And I really came to this chapter, chapter 5, and it stirred my heart. I reminded myself that during that wonderful period of time when the church was being formed, if you like, and people were coming, there was when you come to chapter 5, you discover there's an amazing atmosphere in the church, and things are happening, and there was a spectacular attendance on the church. But the thing that really gripped me was the sudden attack that came upon those who were God's people in the book of the Acts. And I just want to read those few verses, Acts chapter 5, and we're reading, please, from verse 29, Acts chapter 5, and reading from verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. That was a reply to the authorities that had told them they must stop preaching in the name of Jesus. And the thought struck me, I wonder during these days of a pandemic, am I obeying God as I should? Am I being loyal to the Lord? Am I being loyal to His word? Am I being loyal to His people? And while I no longer have a church that I pastor myself, we have quite a large congregation in Ballykeel to look after. And the thought really gripped me. I wonder, am I obeying God? Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. Even in these days of pandemic and all kinds of lockdown and lockout or whatever you want to call it, we are still Christ's witnesses. What a challenge that is today. And how many people I've discovered I meet where we live in Kinallen, and you meet them maybe waiting to get into a shop, or you meet them waiting to collect something from someone else, and the conversation arises and they ask you where you're from and what you do and all the rest of it. And what an opportunity it is to be a witness for the Lord, to let people know you belong to Jesus Christ, that you're saved and you're ready for heaven. And what a thrill and what a blessing it is. Verse 32 says, we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay Peter and his friends. What an amazing moment that must have been. And the thought struck me very forcefully, friends, that this was a message from Peter and the apostles and those that were with them on those days to obey God rather than men. You see, the background of this attack came on the church. Peter was preaching. God was blessing. The Holy Spirit was convicting. The religious leaders were pricked to the very core of their being, and they were so disturbed and annoyed. But sometimes God's word does that. It has an effect on people. I've stood with people over these last weeks, and it was amazing just to see their reaction to God's word. And when we directed them to the thought of there's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus himself said in John 14, "No man comes unto the Father but by me." And oh, they were so taken aback because they had read so many other ways to heaven, and they believed that for many years. And what a moment this was in Peter's life and the apostles' life, when they were challenged in this amazing way. And the thought began to lay hold on me. Is my life really obeying God? Is my life a testimony, a witness to the glory of God? Is my life doing what it's supposed to be? You see, dear friends, if I as a Christian know nothing of accomplishment, of joy in my life, if I know nothing of God working through me, if I know nothing of the blessing of God coming upon me, I was asking myself, could it be that I'm not obeying God? Could it be I'm stepping back because everybody's telling you, don't go out without your mask, don't go out without your gloves, don't go amongst people, stay clear of people. And well, when you meet people in the street, you just can't walk away from them. And so we had to think very clearly, are we obeying God in still witnessing of the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, we're not saved because we obey. We obey because we are saved. Martin Luther said this, and I don't always agree with Martin Luther. Not that I might have wanted to argue with him if I had come face to face with him, but he said this in a very powerful thought. We are not saved by faith and works, but we are saved by a faith that works. Isn't that lovely? Not saved by a faith, by faith and works, but we are saved by a faith that works. Even the Lord Jesus Christ reminds us, why call ye me Lord if you do not the things that I say? Oh, friends, if we are going to heaven, I want to tell you, it's because we have trusted and obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't obey. If we don't obey, it's a sign we have not trusted. You see, faith, James tells us, without works is dead. You won't get to heaven on the ladder of logic, someone said, or the rocket of reason, but on the railroad of redemption, the old T and O, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And you know, there are some reasons for obedience. And two of those reasons that really gripped my soul, dear friends, was simply this. We obey because our Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior and Lord. He is the one that we have trusted. In Him we believe. And we ought to obey Him, said Peter. It's interesting, that little word coming from the Greek text. It simply means we ought to obey God from His word. Why should we obey God? Because we owe it to Him. That little word ought shows us that it comes in the Greek text from the word that we use, owe. We owe it to the Lord. Drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. It's all that I can do. You see, it's the basis of ingratitude, dear friends, to fail to obey God. Oh, Jesus said it again in John 14, let me repeat it. If you love me, keep my commandments. You remember Mary, the wedding of the Cana in Galilee, and Jesus had rebuked her to some degree. But then she turned to the disciples and she said, whatsoever he, Jesus, saith unto you, do it. Do it. Don't run it past the board of your mind to think, should I or should I not. If Jesus says it, just do it. We obey him because he is our saving Lord, but we obey him because he is our sovereign Lord. You see, when people tell me to do something, I have a choice. Either I can do it or I can not do it. But when God tells me to do something, when this book says something clearly, then as I look into it, I have no other choice. Sir Leonard Wood, and I love some of his little books that he has written, Sir Leonard Wood reminds us there is only one alternative to obedience, and that's disobedience. Jeremiah reminds us in 11:3, cursed be the man that obeyeth not. Wow, that's sharp, isn't it? There's reasons for obedience because he is our saving Lord and he is our sovereign Lord. But not only are there reasons for obedience, there's a requirement for obedience as we read through God's word. If I want to be a vibrant, victorious Christian, there are some requirements to that obedience. There has to be intelligent obedience. We need to know what God wants of us. I mean, I cannot obey unless I know that it is God that wants me to do something. Acts 4:20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They saw, they heard, they obeyed. We are not just to be running about doing things without knowing what it is God wants us to do. And many, dear friends, are engaged in a so-called work of God today that tells us they really don't know what it's about. I listen sometimes to some of the programs on Sky Television, some of those Christian so-called programs that come on, and the things they're telling people to do are absolutely horrendous. And it seems to be all they're doing is drawing money from those people and drawing them in to do things that God never told us to do. I love the little story, maybe a little comedic story, if you like, but little fellow went home. It was Bob a Job week in the Scouts. And when he arrived home in the afternoon after being out doing his Bob a Job, his mother said to him, Tommy, what on earth has happened? You look at the state of you, your clothes, and you're black and blue on your arms, and what has happened to you? He says, well, Mother, I don't know. Well, what were you doing? Oh, he says, I was leading an old lady across the street. And how did you get the black and blue marks, and how did you get your jumper in such a mess? Well, Mommy, she didn't want to go. Now, that's a bit of a comic thought, isn't it? But that's maybe sometimes what we're like. We want to do what we want, but there needs to be intelligent obedience. That's why we need to hear what God is saying. There needs to be intelligent obedience. We need, dear friends, to have a quiet time in every day. And what a time of life to be able to increase that quiet time. When we're shut in, when we're locked in, when we're maybe not able to get to work, when we haven't so much to do as we used to take time alone with God, to open His Word, and to listen to what God is saying to us. You see, it's no excuse for me to say, well, I don't know God's will. I can't understand what God's saying. Well, the Bible reminds us, you will find me if you seek for me with all of your heart. Lord, inhabit my humanity. I feel my own heart crying. Lord, think through my mind. Smile through my heart, through my countenance. Work through my hands. Love through my heart. Speak through my lips. Here I am, Lord. I report for duty. When I was a boy, we lived in Milford. In those days, I was born in the village of Milford. My father was a printer, and he cycled into Armagh every day, home again at night, and he had two large plots right out in front of our home, 41 William Street. And of course, he laid down the law every day before he left what we were to do. And I thought, well, you know, if I'm not there, he can't tell me what to do. And so he came home one evening, and my part of the ground hadn't been dug. And you see, my father was the kind of man, if you didn't cooperate with him, he operated on you. So he decided to take me to the side, and he took me out to the two plots of ground. And he made me lie across one of the plots. And he had a belt. Now listen, boys and girls, he didn't know anything about political correctness. In those days, he had a belt. And when I got up, I couldn't sit for the next 2 days. And I assure you, it never happened again. You see, dear friends, when he gave you an order, he expected that it would be obeyed. And there's some orders in the Bible that maybe we haven't even noticed. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, this is the will of God for you, even your sanctification. You don't even have to think about it. You don't have to run it by the board of your mind to see if it's all right to do it. Listen, the Bible says this is the will of God for you, even your sanctification. The Lord wants you to grow up, to grow into the truths of God, to know His Word, and to walk in His way and in His will. You see, there's got to be intelligent obedience. There needs to be intentional obedience. And there's a few more, but I haven't time to spend time on them. There needs to be immediate obedience. There needs to be inflexible obedience. There needs to be impassionate obedience. You see, what Peter's reminding those men that he was speaking to, that we should obey God rather than men. And you might be like I was with my father, saying it's unfair, I don't know what I should be doing, and all the rest of it. And it's interesting what Peter said as he was talking in that passage that we read. In verse 31, he says this, Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Listen to this. And we are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. Peter almost just dropped that little thought in there. We should obey God. And He has what? Given us the Holy Ghost that we may obey Him. We're not asked to do this alone. The Holy Spirit has come to live within these lives of ours. The Holy Dove of God makes His nesting place within our very being. And we don't have to do this obedient thing on our own. We have to do it because we are led of the Spirit of God. You see, the Spirit of God comes to us. Do you not know, says the Apostle Paul, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost who is in you, whom you have received from God? You see, dear friends, the Holy Spirit is within every believer. The moment we are saved, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us, and the Holy Spirit becomes our comforter. And He daily ministers to us. The hymn writer put it like this: our blessed Redeemer, ere he breathe his tender last farewell, a guide, a comforter bequeathed with us to dwell. Oh, beloved, the Holy Spirit exercises a wonderful, a blessed, peculiar ministry within every child of God. The Spirit of God is our comforter and ministers to us. When we're lonely, the Spirit of God gives us a sense of the very presence of Christ. When we are worried, the Spirit of God turns our thoughts to the person of Christ. When we maybe even become fearful, the Spirit of God brings the peace of Christ into our hearts and minds. When we are downcast and troubled, he reminds us of the prayers of Christ, that Jesus Christ is daily interceding on our behalf. When we are uncertain, he causes us to reflect on the purposes of Christ. When we are in doubt, he assures us of the provision of Christ. And when we are tossed and unsteady in what we are thinking we should do, why, he reminds us of the promises of Christ. The Holy Spirit is our comforter and ministers to us. The Holy Spirit is our conformer and molds us. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. The Holy Spirit is our comforter and ministers to us. The Holy Spirit is our conformer and molds us. He fashions us like the potter in the piece of clay on the wheel. And he molds and he fashions that piece of clay until he produces an instrument, a vessel that's worthy for others to buy and purchase. And dear friends, that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. He is our conformer. And daily he's molding us into an instrument, into a vessel that's there for God's use. And it's a noble vessel to glorify the Master. What a blessing. That's what makes us witnesses. And during these days of lockdown or pandemic, whatever you want to call it, friends, we should never forget the Spirit is our comforter and is daily ministering to us. The Spirit is our conformer and is daily molding us. The Spirit is our controller and is daily mastering us. Sin should no longer have dominion over me. Sin should no longer have say in my heart and life. The world should not demand my attention. The world should not appeal to me in any way. The flesh should not gain the upper hand. With God's Holy Spirit inside of me, I am under new management. What a thrill that is. What a blessing. The Spirit is our comforter, ministers to us. The Spirit is our conformer and molds us. The Spirit is our controller and masters us. And the Spirit is our challenger and motivates us. Paul throws down the gauntlet in 1 Corinthians 3:17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple is holy, which temple you are. That word defile, you see, carries with it the idea of impurity, carries with it the idea of uncleanness, carries with it the idea of the vessel that can become dirty. And when we fall foul of his perfect plan for us, we limit the Spirit's working within us. What a challenge. You see, when we grieve or quench the Holy Spirit, we extinguish the fire of God that's lit in our souls the moment the Holy Spirit enters. We become like damp squibs. Isn't that what happened, Solomon? That dream he had, and God spoke to him, and he said, Solomon, after the dream, he said, what you have asked for, you'll get. And I tell you what, Solomon, you'll get a lot more as well. I'll give you everything you need. And what a start Solomon had. What a start. But then we discover Solomon goes on, something goes wrong. You know, don't you, that Solomon penned three books in the Bible. Penned the Song of Solomon, that lovely love song. And what a love song it was. Penned the book of Proverbs. And if we call the Song of Song a book of romance, we could call the book of Proverbs a book of rules. But then he had to write a third book. And that was the book of Ecclesiastes. And we would have to call that a book of regrets. For the man that started with everything to do God's will found himself coming near the end of his tenure for God, that he was like a damp squib. And the power of God had left him. You see, dear friends, this brings us to a thought that came to my heart and mind as I was reading this, was to be found in the book of Ephesians. And maybe some of you here will remember this. When I was a boy of 16, I was saved. And I began to visit Windsor Avenue. Pastor Mullen was the pastor in those days. And I will never forget that when he was dealing with the work of the Holy Spirit. This is what he read to us. Ephesians 5, verse 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye continually filled with the Spirit. And he went up the passage from there, and those of you who remember Mr. Mullen may remember this, but I've never forgotten it. And it's something that has come back to me over this pandemic. And he reminds us in verse 18 that our tastes must be controlled by the Spirit of God. Verse 17, our thoughts are to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Verse 16, our time is to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Verse 14, our treading, our walk is to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Verses 8 through 14, our testimony is to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Verses 6 through 7, our throng, our company is to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Verses 3 through 5, our tongue is to be controlled by the Spirit of God. And verses 1 through 2, our tenderness, our heart love for others is to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Oh, friends, you see where Peter's coming from. You see where Paul's coming from in writing to the Ephesians. What an amazing thought. You see, there's a reason for obedience. There's a requirement of obedience. And then very quickly, there are rewards for obedience. And this really made my heart leap afresh. You see, in this business of obeying God, something wonderful will happen in my life and in your life. If I obey God, listening to His Word, hearing what He's saying, doing what He asks of me, that tells me and the world that I have spiritual power in my witness. I have power that maybe I've never, ever displayed before. And you might say, preacher, I don't have spiritual power in my life. And I had to ask that very same question. Ken Humphreys, do you have spiritual power in your life? And the thought struck me, well, maybe not the way I should have. And the question came back to me, have you been obeying God? God won't give spiritual power to those who rebel. You wouldn't give the keys of your brand new Mercedes to a rebel even in your own home. If you knew he was out raking about in that lovely car, you would never let him out in it again. And God, dear friends, wants that power that he has given us, that Holy Ghost power that's within us. He wants that power to be used so that we have power in our witness, that we don't just throw out words. But when we talk to people, we see the power of God at work. I've had the privilege of preaching missions all across this land. And what a blessing it has been to see God at work. And one in particular, and I remember doing a mission for 4 weeks away back in, November 79. And it was for 4 weeks in November, and the snow was everywhere. And we had some people in that mission saved. In fact, there were people saved every night, not because I was there. Let me make that clear. But because God was at work. And that church had, for a full year before the mission started, held a special prayer meeting every night, every week, so that God would work. So when I came along to preach my word, there was nothing to do but just preach, and God worked. But one man in particular came in one night, and going out, he said to me, "Preacher, can I come back on Thursday night? I'm working Wednesday night, but can I come back on Thursday night?" I said, "Of course." Thursday night after the meeting, he just jumped up out of his seat. He ran up to the front, and he fell at my feet on the pulpit. And he says, "I need to get saved. I need to get saved. I've been searching for Christ these years, and I need to get saved." And he was the strangest looking fella. He had fuzzy hair, and it went up here. It wasn't in a bun. It just seemed to be whatever way he had combed it or groomed it. Brought him in, led him to the Lord. And do you know where that dear man is now, today? He's in China. And he's teaching English in one of the Chinese schools, a large school. And he's teaching English in that Chinese school from the authorized version of the Bible. Isn't that incredible? I can scarcely get over that. Nothing to do with me. This was God's work. Oh, friends, when there's a life that's obedient to God, there's power in our witness. But not only is there spiritual power in our witness, there's supernatural joy in our lives. Again, folks have said to me, "Well, preacher, I have no joy in my life. My Christianity's an all uphill struggle. It's all difficult. It's all terrible. And I can't overcome it." Has God been saying to you, as he has said to me, we should obey God rather than man? You see, when God's at work, there's spiritual power in our witness, there's supernatural joy in our lives, and friends, there's salvation, victory in the church. And that's something that many of us are short of, isn't it? Wouldn't it be lovely again to see some of these dear people we've been talking to coming to Christ, coming into the church, and giving themselves over to him? Oh, friends, start by asking God during this awful period of time. Start by asking God for that touch and for that obedience, that you would walk with the Lord in the light of his word. The hymn writer had it right. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Let's pray together. Our Father, we just thank you for your wonderful word. What a blessing it is to us. Help us to abide by it, help us to live in it, and help us to obey you through it. We need your touch, Lord. We need that the Holy Spirit to work with power and great authority. And our Father, not to end up like Solomon, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. But to end up, our Father, knowing that you're working in us day and night. Thank you for the dear people that have come. Thank you, Lord, that you're able to speak to all of us and lead us into paths of blessing. And may it be so even in these days. This we ask in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen.